Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, last season was fun for the Atlanta Braves. 90 wins in the NL East. Everybody talking about how, you know, they had jumped ahead by a year, kind of moved everything up because last year was supposed to be this year and this year was supposed to be next year. But as much fun as last year was, this year there's some kind of serious going on. This team winning now six in a row, 14 of its last 16 games, getting set to host the Nationals tonight. The talk about the World Series, Hugh Douglas, might have been, you know, kind of like, you know, pipe dreamy. Hey, listen, can we really get to the World Series? You know, you got the Dodgers and, you know, the Astros and the Yankees. But you watch this team over the last 3 weeks. Oh, this is a team that can win the World Series. I mean, it kind of said, oh, this is real. This club is for real.
Yeah, you feel good about them. No question about that. I mean, you know, going and seeing what they're doing right now, seeing what they did against the Dodgers. I still think that the Dodgers are probably looking at them and thinking that, you know, maybe they're a little bit of a joke. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Dodgers hit the most home runs in a single season. Was it 200 and some odd home run? 250, my bag. I'm 200 and some odd. 250 in a single season. So I still think that they feel that, you know, the Braves offer no real threat. But the way that they're playing right now in the field that it's a little bit of a playoff field, they got a legit shot.
Well, it's going to be a huge series, a huge 14-game stretch where, and we pointed to this, and here it is. The Braves get 14 straight against the Nats and the Phillies, four at home against the Nats, and then you have four more against the Phillies, then three more against the Nats, and three more against the Phillies. Not that the Phillies are, you know, the Phillies are out of it. I mean, they're not going to catch the race of the NL East, but
yeah, and they're three games out of the wild card.
Right, they're still in the wild card hunt, and they can still make life miserable for you if they want to. But this four-game stretch here is going to be really fun to watch with Max Fried against Steven Strasburg beginning tonight. To talk a little bit to Dale Murphy about where Murph stands with this club right now, and they began that conversation they're in right now.
You know, you just look at the numbers. I know it's still they got a mathematical chance, but when you start looking at it, what the Nats have to do and what the Braves have to do for them to catch them, I'm not really concerned. But it's always good to pat it, especially when you start playing head-to-head. So, you know, I have a few concerns. I'm not concerned we're going to win this thing, but I have a few concerns going into this last month. That's for sure.
Talk about the mentality for a team that's in the lead in September and how difficult it is after playing, you know, basically, you know, 140 some odd games with 22 games left, I think it is.
Well, the main thing is, to me, you can't all of a sudden do things differently in September. You got to maintain. You can't send any signals to anyone that there's any panic mode, or if a couple games don't go well, you know, you just keep playing. This club really has a good mindset, and I know they've talked a lot about chemistry lately with Freddie and Josh Donaldson kind of leading the charge, and the young kids having a lot of fun out there. So you just got to keep and maintain and be yourself.
All right, Murph, as we talk about, you know, the Nationals and you know, what this means for them, you've been on the other side of that too. What's their mindset as they come in here knowing they've got to win? Because really the pressure's on them, isn't it? I mean, we've been maintaining this lead, but they got to come in here and make it happen.
Well, there's no question. And people always, you know, the times that I was in the race, people say, well, are you watching the scoreboard? I'm like, I'm watching every night. Are you kidding me? It doesn't distract me from what I'm doing. But imagine being the Nats, the Nationals, as well as they have played, and nothing has changed. In fact, they've lost a little ground. I mean, that's beyond frustrating. And realizing that basically you got to sweep a team. That just doesn't happen. It's not going to happen with this club the way we're pitching now. And the whole thing, the way the thing's going. So, you know, it's frustrating, no question about it. You haven't got any help from anybody else. The Braves just continue to win. And so, yeah, no question, a lot of pressure on them. They can't make mistakes. And baseball is not a game where, you know, you play mistake-free. But the Nationals coming in cannot make mistakes. You just can't. But I just think that, you know, these things aren't happening by accident. This club is not winning just by any fluke. This is a solid defensive team and a team that's getting solid pitching and clutch hitting. And so I'm very confident, never overconfident, but very confident in this ball club.
That's what Dale Murphy has to say about this team, and you should be, because this team is some kind of serious now that we've settled down the bullpen. So we have so much going for us in terms of the momentum of the Braves into this series, and this is such a big series, Hugh. I mean, they're going to be huge crowds. I mean, SunTrust Park is just going to be rocking for all
people
four games.
People are going to want to witness history. They're going to be a part of with something special. Something potentially is going to be special in the ballpark.
We don't want you, if you're going to be one of the people that goes there, so the 170,000 that are going to go for these four games, do know, of course, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's going to be a bit warm. Do hydrate, you know, make sure you take care of yourself for the game because we want everybody to be healthy and happy. But what pitching matchups? Steven Strasburg against Max Fried tonight, Hugh. Then it's Corbin against Dallas Keuchel on Friday. Ross against Tulio Teheran Saturday, all leading to that Sunday showdown that everybody, if you're a baseball fan, if you're a Braves fan, how about Max Scherzer against Mike Soroka? Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, and we haven't had a chance to see Scherzer yet. Haven't had a chance to see him. That's going to be the thing. And you know, we were trying to pick this apart yesterday and trying to figure out how many games has Strasburg won against the Braves. Three? He's won three. There go my man, A, the producer, with that stat. Yeah, but that's going to be big. And then you got the other two pitchers that are wedged in between them. Who are the other two pitchers in between? That Corbin and Joe Ross? So, yeah, it's going to be good. But my magic number is 8. And I did that. I did a little bit of math. I sat down and I did a little bit of math.
Right.
Because you're thinking, you're talking about the 4-4. You go 4-3, 4-3. I go 2-2, 2-2. You know, because that way you split two in both series and then you win the series. So, yeah, that's the magic number for me is 8.
Well, the Braves are 7 games up. Thanks to the New York Mets, who beat the Nats yesterday. They're 7 full games up on the Washington Nationals with these 22 games to go. Really, the math is not really great for the Nationals, but because they kind of come in here thinking, we got it, Hugh, they got to take 3 out of 4. If they don't take 3 out of 4, as you said, if the Braves just get a split in this series, it just puts the Nationals in just such a box mathematically. So who is it that has to step up here, Hugh, for the Braves to have them, you know, have success right now in this series? I mean, they've had a lot of different guys over the last few weeks step up.
I'm going to go with that, John. I mean, because I can't see it being just one guy. Maybe if we're going to do that, I would say Soroka, maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's a good call.
Soroka would have to step up. And I think that now we're in a position where, you know, you looked at Fulton Nevers the other night. He gave you 5 innings. I think guys need to start giving you 6-7 strong innings if that's the case. If you're talking about the way that your bullpen is looking right now, I think that now that your starting pitching has to start separating themselves and giving you longer innings, especially with it being the time of the season where, you know, pitching is going to matter big time. And you want to have, you know, you've been talking about it a lot and other people have been kind of parsing it out a little bit about what your pitchers, who is going to be your guys going into a series, 5-game series? Who are going to be your guys? Yeah, so guys need to start separating themselves.
Yeah, let me ask all of you out there, what do you want to see step up right now? 22 games to go in this series. Who's the guy that has to kind of carry this team? Oh, and not carry the team, that's the wrong way to put it. Who's the guy that's got to kind of really, you know, step up? Is it the bringer of rain? Is it Freddie? Is it Ronald Acuna got to get his game back? We've seen signs that it might be coming back, but it isn't quite back yet. Hopefully that breaks out tonight. Or is it somebody like Soroka? Is it Dallas Keuchel where he's going to have to pay all these dividends for being this big game pitcher and this World Series pitcher? You know, or is it going to have to be that closer of Mark Melanson? Who's going to have to be that guy that really is, you know, able to show you right now that he can win games, not only in this series, but into the playoffs, into the NLCS, even into the World Series? 404-741-0929. Is the phone number if you want to jump in. Let's talk a little bit about the Braves because I think this series is going to be kind of indicative. All right, let's say that we've gotten to this point right here. The NL East is on the line for the Washington Nationals this weekend. Make no doubt about it. In their minds, they know, Hugh, that they cannot come out of here with a split. Because if they come out here with a split, they're going to have to go, okay, we got to fight for the wild card. And they played tremendous baseball. It's got to be, I think, kind of interesting, kind of be really funny to them to have played as great as they have since the beginning of June. And they played great, and they've made up no ground. They made up one game, one. And they played, you know, incredible baseball since the beginning of June. I'd have to go look at their record, but there's something like 23 games over 500, and they've made up one game.
And I'll say this. The one thing that the Braves have been pretty adept at is when teams come in here, supposedly, in air quotes, the hot team, they've cooled them off. They've cooled them off immediately. Abe's giving me the thumbs up because he said that's a good stat to throw out there. Yes, it is, Abe. I know this. That's why I said it. But, yeah, it's the truth. You talk about who came in here. The Nationals came in here, was supposed to be the hot team. The Mets were – remember, they were scorched hot. Oh, my gosh, the Mets are coming in. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Everybody was stirring the pot. Oh, my gosh, Mr. Met. Ooh, they're going to – hey, cooled them off. So, yeah, brought them out and swept them. So, yeah, I think that's what we have going for us. And the fact that the team is focused. And the bringer of rain, this Josh Donaldson thing, that's a thing. That's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and guys rally behind that. You talk about a guy who, since day one, has come in and he's had the swagger and he's been able to back it up since day one. Even when people doubted him, even when people wondered what he was going to be for the money that you gave him, I think he's been all that in a bag of chips. If I'm not mistaken, what was his number? 34 home runs? Something like that? On the season? That was probably more than you banked on, because I remember the magic number. A lot of people said, hey, if he gives you like 20-something home runs, that's great. He's giving you more than that. So much so that if I had the time to go through my Twitter feed and be a troll, I could look and probably find some of those cats that were talking negative about him and that immediately changed their mind or didn't tweet anything else negative about him as the season went on, because he's been that good.
Well, for this series against the Nats, and we could talk about the 14 games at large, but this four-game set against the Nats, we just mentioned, you know, Washington's got to come in here. They got to take 3 out of 4. They got to be thinking about that, because a split really puts them in a box. If the Braves take 3 out of 4, this thing is over. So who needs to have a series for the Braves to take 3 out of 4 here? Because they'd be 9 up, and it just would be no mathematical route for Washington really to get there. Alexander in Atlanta. Alexander, you're on with John and Hugh. Hey, Alexander.
Good morning.
John, good morning, man. As far as the series is concerned, I think the hitting has to step up. This particular series is probably the first one that you're going to get like a playoff preview as far as, again, for pitching staff. So I'm going to say, you know, Freddie, kind of snap out of your slump. Acuna, this series, kind of get out your slump. As far as in the playoffs, man, we got the talent. Can Brian Snicker take us over the top? I think Brian Snicker is really the X factor. He's going, when he gets into the playoffs, he's going against playoff succeeding, or I should say playoff proven managers. We have the talent. Is he going to make the right calls in the postseason? Because a lot of us like him, but he's like Bobby Cox. And Bobby Cox only got his one title. So as much as I like Snicker, I think the pressure's on him in the playoffs to put these guys in the right position so we can get to that final play-in game.
And to his credit, I mean, and I appreciate that, Alexander, he has made a lot of the right calls here so far this season.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at something yesterday, and I was telling Abe, the producer, about this. I was looking at, they had all the managers broken down in Major League Baseball from the worst to the best. And Brian Snicker was in the top 10. I think he was number 8, if I'm not mistaken. He was number 8. And it just makes me wonder, and why does he get such a bad rap when you talk about all of Major League Baseball, when people have sat around and they've analyzed all this, that they've made him, even though he doesn't have a lot to show for his seeding, that people don't respect him like that, but Major League Baseball does.
You know, it'll be a different story if he can win a ring. I mean, that always changes
everything. That's how it
right?
is for anybody.
Right.
That's how it is for anybody, but I'm just saying. For him to be respected like that, and for him to be able to push the right buttons to put this team in the position that it's been in, I'd say get a man a shot.
Matt, well, stay right there. We'll get to you next. Who has to have that big series for the Atlanta Braves right now as we get that playoff atmosphere against the Washington Nationals? It's showdown time, and it starts tonight at SunTrust Park after a CBS Sports Minute. Braves and Nats get set to tee it up and go tonight in a huge four-game series at SunTrust Park. Going to be sold-out crowds, hot weather, playoff atmosphere for the Braves and Nationals. And maybe, just maybe, this is a rivalry on moment for the Atlanta Braves. For years and years and years, welcome back to the Morning Show with John Hill. For years and years and years, I've wanted the Braves to have a rivalry now with the Washington Nationals. They don't have one yet, but I would love for them, because the Braves have really never had a rival, Hugh. It'd be kind of cool if they did, and I think this would be a lot of fun if this kind of blew up into, you know, some a little bit of nastiness between the two fan bases. That'd be fun. I mean, because when you want a rival, right?
I like I said, coming from Philly, and you know, being up there, I always thought the Phillies and the Braves were rivals, but maybe that's just me. Maybe that's me being an infant in Major League Baseball and not really knowing a whole lot, but that's what I always thought. Yeah. But, yeah, this would be nice.
Yeah, from the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, the four-game series is to let the nation know that Washington is not the Dodgers' number one competition. That's a fair statement, because I think a lot of people, Hugh, in baseball think, they look at the National League and they go, well, what's the one team that can knock off the Dodgers in a series? It's Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin. It's that pitching rotation of the Washington Nationals.
That's what you look at, because that's all you talk about in the playoffs is pitching. And the fact that, you know, if you got quality pitching, and that's what we've been all told, that if you have quality pitching, you got a shot. And when you look at the Dodgers, that's what you look at. You look at their pitchers and be like, yeah, they got a shot.
The Braves and Nationals, we're going to have a lot of fun with this series, aren't we? Who's the one guy that has to step up? Hugh, you said Soroka is the guy that's got to step up. Matt in Atlanta, who's got to step up in this series for the Braves? Who's got to kind of bring his game?
Yeah, I don't think any one individual needs to step up on this team, and that's what I love about the composition of this ball club. Acuña is in probably his biggest slump of maybe his career, and we won six games in a row. We saw Freddie, I don't know if he had a hit during the Dodgers series, and we took two out of three. So it's the next man up mentality. It's the way this club is built, and we're built for the long term. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Matt in Atlanta. And again, 404-741-0929. I think that's kind of, you know, fair, Hugh. Once this bullpen really settled in, and now we see these, you know, we're getting these performances, every man is kind of stepping up and covering the other guy. And we've seen that from the bench all year through the lineup. And for Brian Snicker to have to, you know, maneuver around all these, how many outfielders have we had? Eight, right?
Something like that. I mean, but it's been like that all season. And that's why it was really hard for me to pick one guy. But like I said, going into the playoffs, I would probably think that pitching and Soroka would be that guy. Because just listening to you and Abe go back and forth about baseball and other people talk about it, that's been the biggest concern. Nobody's really talking about the bats as much. Maybe get another big bat in that lineup. That's what you're looking at. But for the most part, it's been the pitching.
Well, and good news on that. I mean, Austin Riley, which, you know, we all know the funk of funks that he went into, he has started to kind of come out of that again down at Gwinnett. Hit a long home run again last night. If we could get Austin Riley or Adam Duvall to come in and help fill in, because I don't think you're going into the playoffs with Ortega as your left fielder. I just don't. I think it's going to have to be one of those two. That'll be something that's down the road here in a couple of weeks. Right now, we got to deal with what we have in front of us, which is the Washington Nationals coming in with this pitching. And I'm going to agree with you, Hugh. Mike Soroka is the key here, because I know what I think I'm going to get out of Dallas Keuchel in terms of his veteran leadership and the fact that he's been here. But Mike Soroka is going to have to be a number one guy. I mean, we've seen him have an MVP caliber kind of season here, a Cy Young caliber kind of season, going to be up in the Cy Young voting. And if the Braves are going to do stuff in the postseason, and now he's got to act like it.
Yeah, and then you talk about that head-to-head that he's going to have at the end of this first series with Scherzer. That's going to be huge. Yeah, if he can handle his business against that, because that's the first time we see Scherzer. That, you know, and if he can get that's going to be huge.
Yeah, Max Scherzer, Mike Soroka on Sunday is the one that everybody's kind of pointing to. But, boy, I think tonight is big, too. Max Fried against Steven Strasburg not only set the tone for the series, Hugh, because, you know, obviously whoever wins tonight is going to have a big leg up on the weekend, but also for Max Fried, because there are still a lot of fans who say, all right, Max, I know you've won a lot of games, but can you do it when it comes to crunch time? Well, here it is, Hugh. It's crunch time right now. You have a chance to put away the Washington Nationals. Put them away And so if you could do that, as hot as you've been, 14 out of 16, and to your point, they've won 10 in a row at home, and they have been that cooling gel, and you're right about that. When teams come in, and you're absolutely right, when the Mets came in as hot as they were, I was a little worried. And the Braves just put them down and said, nah, you're done. Chris and Marietta. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How's it going? I wanted to reapproach the discussion about who the Braves' rivalry should be, because I would love to have a citywide discussion about it. Personally, I believe that our rivalry should be in our division, and I think that it should be the Phillies. A lot of people would argue that in the late 90s, the Mets would have been who it was. You got to go outside the division. I like the Giants more than I like the Dodgers, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's the old NL West stuff. The problem with rivalries is that there's no other team kind of, you know, in our region, I guess, well, Miami, but Miami's as close to Atlanta as New York is. I mean, we don't have a team in Charlotte, and there's no team in Nashville, and there, you know, no team down in the
Swamp.
Well,
like I said, regional, but I meant divisional.
I understand that. And the other problem with the division that we run into, Chris and Hugh, and you know this from your years up there, is that, you know, the folks in Philadelphia and the folks in New York, they don't look at Atlanta. We may be in the same division, but they, you know, Boston and Philadelphia and New York, Washington, they live together, right? They interact together. They hate each other up there in multiple sports for long periods of time. They look at Atlanta, oh, yeah, you guys, oh, yeah, we forgot about you guys down there.
I don't look at it like that. You talk about getting out of the division and winning pennant races. I mean, wasn't the Braves the thorn in the Philly side for a lot of years? Like in the 90s? Wasn't that in the 90s? It was kind of like that, if I'm not mistaken. So that's how I kind of look at it. I look at it more so as a team that's stopping you from reaching your ultimate goal or taking something away from you. Kind of like you look at the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, or the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants or the Redskins. You know, because for a lot of times, you know, you're trying to get to the Super Bowl, those teams are going at it. Mm-hmm. So that's how I kind of look at it.
Well, the Falcons and Saints have had a rivalry since 1966, and they both came into the year, the league, same year, same division, all that kind of stuff. So I guess that was bound to happen. For the Braves, it's been different teams at different times. It was, you know, we wanted to pretend that it was the Dodgers. That's what we wanted to pretend, but when we were in the NL West, but they killed us every year with those great teams they had. So, yeah, I mean, there are burgeoning rivalries here with Philadelphia, and at times, as Calder said, the Mets, certainly there was, you know, a period of time, the whole John Rocker, Chipper Jones stuff going on with the Mets. There was a lot of hate between these two teams. And now here come the Nationals. It'll be interesting to see if this kind of develops into something deeper than it has been with these two clubs, and maybe this is what kickstarts it. That's just what I was thinking. But we have these two teams coming in. For the Nationals, Hugh, it's got to be frustrating to be a Nats fan. They've been around and they've been so close so many years, and they've never done anything in the postseason.
Yeah, especially when you're up there with the Yankees. I mean, Mets fans have been long suffering for a long time, and you know that's the one team that like when you look at the hierarchy of teams in New York, I would probably say the Yankees, the Giants. Was it the Rangers, the New York Rangers, and probably the New Jersey Devils? And I mean, it just goes on and on. And then the Jets are in there somewhere, and then the Mets. You put them, the Jets and the Mets are probably in the same boat as far as the hierarchy of fandom in New York. And not slighting the Knicks or anybody like that. I was just trying to think of them. I would say probably Yankees, Knicks, Giants, or whatever, something like that. But yeah, they're not on the hierarchy of the list up there in New York, I would think.
Yeah, no, it's a Long Island team. You're right about that. We are talking about the Braves and Nationals as they get ready for Strasburg and Max Fried again. Corbin against Dallas Keuchel on Friday. Ross against Julio Teheran on Saturday. Scherzer and Soroka coming up on Sunday. Great matchups. Huge crowds. Going to be hot at the stadium. And of course, the Braves come in having won 6 in a row, 14 of 16, 10 in a row at home, and now they can actually put the Washington Nationals absolutely away. See, that's the one thing we keep talking about. Okay, we can make the numbers tough on them if we split. But what if the Braves get 3 out of 4? What if the Braves sweep? I mean, you can slam this division shut with 15 games to go, which gives you, Hugh, if you could do that, then you're going to take aim at the number one seed. Of course, at the moment, I'm not sure you want the number one seed because that would mean the winner of the wild card game, which might be, who knows if that is it tougher than what you get with the St. Louis Cardinals, who the Braves would play at the moment. I guess it really doesn't matter. You're going to have to go through the Dodgers most likely, I would think. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it would be interesting. The one thing that would be good about the number one seed is you would be back at home where suddenly you found a groove.
Yeah, home cooking would be awesome. But I think at this point, if we're talking about, you know, you being one of the favorites if you go to the World Series and things of that nature, it doesn't really matter how you get it. You just got to get it done. you know, the bottom line, you've got to get it done.
All right, here we go. Stand by for action. I can't wait for the game tonight. Again, we're going to be following a full story tomorrow, all your reaction to the Braves and Nationals to see what Atlanta's got, because to me, this is where it all really starts. I mean, all the great stuff we've done this year, Hugh, all the win streaks, all the Freddie, the Acuna hot, the JD and the umbrella, you know, the bullpen bad and now the bullpen great, and the additions that they put in and all the injuries, it's all led to this point where right now here on September, we are starting, this is the beginning of the run to a potential World Series.
Master of your old destiny right here. What it always came down to in my eyes, you know, it always come down to the end of the season for me, and now you have your destiny squarely in your control.
Well, as the Braves and Nationals get set to go, it is the NFL tonight. The Packers and Bears in Chicago. Our coverage begins at 8 o'clock live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The kick at 8:20. The Bears are four-point favorites over the Packers. Who should you take in this game? We're going to ask Chad Millman of the Action Network who he likes in this game. He's going to tell you who he likes in the Falcons game as well. We're going to get the inside because, you know, the NFL is changing. Gambling's a deal now. The NFL has said, yeah, bring it on. Heck, they're going to have betting windows at Soldier Field so you can bet during the game. It's a brave new world when it comes to NFL gambling. We'll talk to an expert about it next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. The NFL is getting ready for kickoff tonight. Bears-Packers on 92.9 The Game. Coverage begins at 8 from Soldier Field. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The NFL is entering some brave new territory this year with its alignment with gambling and saying that it's going to be encouraging it and trying to make, well, Hugh, a lot of money. The league's trying to cash in. The NBA said, okay, we'll go with this. Now the NFL has said, we're going to go with it too.
Trying. The NFL is going to make a lot of money.
We welcome into the program Chad Millman of the Action Network. As a matter of fact, I just brought up the website, actionnetwork.com, seeing the live odds for the game tonight and more. Chad, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. We just to that point, before we get into some of the week one stuff here and the futures, how much is this, the NFL kind of embracing gambling, going to change, you know, the game for the better, the worse? I mean, how is it going to change everything?
You know, I don't know that it really does change everything because gambling's already happening. That's always been sort of my argument, and that's always been, I think, a lot of the arguments that people who are in favor of legalizing betting have had, is that this is a $400 billion industry. It's a $400 billion industry, whether it's legal or illegal. So what it likely does is introduce a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have been comfortable doing it into the ecosystem. And it makes them feel more comfortable because there are certain groups of the population that just wouldn't think about doing something if it's illegal, even if they deem it to be relatively harmless. And so I think that it's going to make people more aware of what sports betting is, and it's also going to make people more aware of how sports betting impacts the language and the prism through which everybody views sports. I mean, it's a big part of the conversation.
When you look at the NFL season starting, do you see more people betting in that first week just because it's back? Or why do you think more people are betting that first week?
Oh, I think it's entirely because it's back. You know, we'll see it in our numbers this weekend, and sports books will certainly see it. Like, in the beginning, you've got a lot of people, a lot of enthusiasm. You know, September is sort of eating season for a lot of books and a lot of sports media companies too. Like, this is when people are most excited. They've been waiting for 6 months. They can't wait to see players back in the field. They can't wait to take advantage and sort of throw some money down. 100%. These first few weeks are massive.
You know, speaking of that, how much did the Andrew Luck retiring impact the way that people betted in the NFL? As far as Super Bowl odds were concerned?
You know, that's a great question because that was so – everything about sports betting is about bookmakers trying to determine what they think the public is going to do. It's not about trying to determine who's going to win. It's not about trying to say that the Falcons are going to lose to the Vikings by 4 points. They're only trying to – entice people to bet a certain way, and they're setting a number that is based on what they think the general public is going to do. So before Andrew Luck retired, the Colts were 3-point underdogs to the Chargers. Andrew Luck retires, and it is a very public retirement. You've got a quarterback that a lot of people feel like is a top-five quarterback in the NFL, won most improved player last year, had his team on a hot streak, really seemed to come back from sort of all the injuries that he had had, and does it in a way where it's announced in the middle of the primetime college football game that is kicking off the season. And so all of a sudden, it gets a much bigger reaction than it might have otherwise gotten, right? Because all of a sudden, everybody is galvanized around this one event and they're really paying attention to it. And the bookmakers react to that. They see how the public is reacting to the news of Andrew Luck. So that game gets pumped up, and now all of a sudden, with Andrew Luck retired and Jacoby Brissett being the new quarterback, the Colts become 7.5-point underdogs. And that is a reaction to how the public was reacting. And immediately, professional bettors, they thought that was way too much of an adjustment. And so they started betting on the Colts. And so that number was at 7.5, then it was at 7, now it's at 6.5. And you'll see a lot of people who are still betting on the Colts because they think that bookmakers just invested too much in the idea that Andrew Luck retired and nobody else is going to want to bet on the Colts anymore. And it certainly impacted their Super Bowl futures too. They had bid it about 20-1 when in spring. I actually bet them at 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. And then they dropped all the way down to about 10 or 12 to 1. And then as soon as Andrew Luck retired, they went all the way back to 30-1. So it definitely had an impact, and it'll be interesting to see sort of what happens with this team, because they're not as bad as people think. They're not the Andrew Luck Colts where he had no offensive line and no defense to support him. They're a little bit better than that now.
Chad Millman of the Action Network. One of the great things about actionnetwork.com, if you're a gambler, if you want to bet on football, is that you can see the live betting as it takes place if you go to actionnetwork.com, including the percent of bets that are coming in on a team. So let's just talk about tonight here. Green Bay opened as a 4-point underdog to the as a 4-point favorite on the road to the Bears. That has dropped now down to a point. It's now Green Bay is now getting 3, Chicago laying 3 in this game. How do you see this game tonight? Who do you like? Do you like the Bears? Do you like the Packers?
I like the Packers. I bet on the Packers at +3, and I say this as a guy who grew up in Chicago and maybe cares about the Bears only slightly less than his children. But I do think that the Packers are probably the right side of this game. And the professional money has shown that, and bookmakers would tell you they opened the Packers at +4, and they thought they started to get some professional money, and they thought it would stop when it got to the Packers at +3, and they've continued to get professional betting money coming in on the Packers. I think there's a few things here. One, regression is sort of the key term when it comes to sports betting and it comes to the NFL. And look, the Bears last year had a lot of injury luck. They had a lot of turnover luck. Mitch Trubisky had him playing in the right spots at the right time. But their defense, while it is amazing and it's a top-five defense, they got rid of one of their premier nickel cornerbacks, and they replaced him with one of the worst cornerbacks in the league. And meanwhile, the Packers' defensive secondary, which was one of the worst in the league, just got much better. And they had a lot of bad injury luck. And so I don't know that to me, the value in this game is ever going to be in the Bears, because I think that they're overvalued in terms of the public, and I think that's what the bookmakers are reacting to.
Hey, Chad, I'm not a betting man, because I don't like to lose my money. But if you would give me a sure thing this weekend, if I wanted to bet this weekend, give me your one surefire bet that's going to put some money in my pocket.
Listen, you know there is no such thing as a sure thing.
I need a surefire thing, though, Chad. I'm telling you.
It would be a fool's errand for me to try to tell you a sure thing. But I will tell you that, like, I did bet the Jags +3.5 against the Chiefs. I really liked Carolina as an underdog at home against the Rams. I tend to bet short home underdogs. Those are games in which I think there's a lot of value on the home team. Historically, if you were to look back and sort of run the numbers, and you can do this on actionnetwork.com, and you can download the app and sort of run some of our systems, you would see that that short home dogs tend to cover the spread, especially early in the season.
Okay, you say Jags over Chiefs, and who?
I let Carolina cover it against the Rams.
Carolina over the Rams. So I'm going to put $1,000 on. If I don't get my money back, Chad, I'm coming to see you.
Yeah, but here's the thing, you know, if you do get your money, you got to give me a taste.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got to give you a little taste of that. Yeah, I got you. You know what, Chad? I probably wouldn't even bet. I don't even know why I'm talking tough. I'm looking at my frat brother right here. I'm afraid to. You know, like they say, scared money don't make money. My money ain't making no money because I'm scared to spend. I'm scared.
I completely understand. I generally feel the same way.
All right, Chad, we do appreciate you taking a few minutes again. Chad Millman, actionnetwork.com. You got to check it out. It's live odds. It's really, you can see the bets as they roll in. It click, click, click. Yeah, thanks, Chad. Do appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad.
All right, folks. Talk to you later.
All righty, Chad Millman. It is kind of a neat sight.
I might do that, though. I might put about a couple dollars. What is the lowest bet amount that I can put on a bet? Like, what, $5? I can do a $5 bet, huh? I can't bet a $5. Or in the segment, I can't do $5 bet. How about a $10 bet? How about 20? I need to talk to Mike Bell about this. I know Mike Bell knows how to gamble. What can $15 get me on a bet? Okay, high rolling. 20 bucks. 20 whole bucks. I'm going to bet 20. 20 whole bucks. High rolling. We're living high on the hog.
Hey, college football is about to break out. No big games tonight, but tomorrow they got some, and then Saturday going to roll your way. But UGA just had a big blow to its stellar offensive line. We'll talk about that next with John and you on the morning show on Sports Radio 90. John, the game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.